Grant Gavin, and welcome to Clubhouse Conversation.
They come from all corners of the world, and they descend on towns everywhere. Burlington, North Carolina, Idaho Falls, Idaho, Lexington, Kentucky, Wilmington, Delaware, Springdale, Arkansas, Papillion, Nebraska, and Kansas City, Missouri. What do all these men have in common? They work together to win. It's time to talk to another Royal on Clubhouse Conversation.
And I gotta be honest with you, I'm pretty excited that you're along for another edition of Clubhouse Conversation. What's up? It's Dave-O, and this is the place where we catch up with all your favorite current and former Royals players. And on this day, August 7th of 2018, we're speaking with a local kid from Kansas City, Grant Gavin, who currently pitches out of the Northwest Arkansas Natural Bullpen. Now, I'll admit it, I'm a prisoner of the moment. Every single interview I've ever done is my favorite interview because I just love talking to people, especially current and former Royals players right here on Clubhouse Conversation. Grant Gavin also remembers me from my other career where I'm a radio host of an FM afternoon show in Kansas City playing pop music and talking to Bieber and Katy Perry and Gaga. But I get more excited about these interviews than when I interview those people. All the current and former Royals players. Grant Gavin went to UCM, helped lead them to the College World Series back in 2016, was a 29th round selection of the Royals that year. And that's kind of a funny story in itself because he didn't expect the Royals to take him. We'll talk about that coming up with Grant Gavin. He's risen through the ranks quickly, especially for a 29th rounder. Definitely a little undervalued. Based on the fact that he wasn't heavily recruited out of high school, maybe because he pitched D2, but he's putting up the numbers ever since he came into the Royals system with the AZL Royals, where he was surprise pitcher of the year in 2016. Last year, combined with Lexington and Wilmington, was on fire. Same thing this year, beginning the campaign at Wilmington and now moving up to Northwest Arkansas. And speaking of Northwest Arkansas, he's currently with them at home before a game later on tonight, and he's kind enough to join us this morning here on Clubhouse Conversation. Grant Gavin, first of all, thanks so much, man, for taking the time to join us, and how's everything going with you?
It's pretty good, you know, just been playing baseball and got about a month left trying to finish the season strong.
Yeah, and you're a KC kid, which is kind of exciting, growing up in Parkville. So a tough question for you. Are you more excited about making it up to Double A this year or about seeing Pat Mahomes play a full season for the Chiefs?
I'd say that's definitely a toss-up because one affects my life personally, but the other one is something I've been looking forward to probably my entire life. So.
Yeah. Well, the Chiefs are finally developing a franchise quarterback, right? We hope, at least.
Right. It's something I haven't ever seen, and I think me and all my friends that follow the Chiefs are thoroughly excited and that there's finally some hope.
Yeah. Well, no doubt. So how good are the Chiefs going to be this year? Give me a win-loss prediction.
I'm probably one of the more optimistic people that believe in them, but I'd say they're going to be 10-6, 11-5.
Okay. All right. Hopefully
in that range, I think we're going to win the division.
I like it. Hopefully they can stop the run. They drafted enough guys to try to stop the run this year, right?
Right. I think that's the biggest concern is the defense, in my opinion. But, I mean, you never know. On paper, it always looks like that. And then at the end of the season, stuff doesn't always go as planned. So they could surprise us.
Well, we'll see. So were you a bigger Chiefs or Royals fan growing up then?
Pretty equal, honestly. My family has season tickets to the Royals, and so I've gone to I went to both pretty frequently.
Okay, so you're a true blue. I was going to ask you about that. So you're a true blue Royals fan. What are your favorite memories? Did you get to go to any of those playoff games in 2014 or 15?
Oh, yeah, I went to a bunch of them. It was like in 14, I went to three of the World Series games. I went to the wild card game in 14. I went to one or two of the games against the Orioles that year. I know for sure. I was at the game where they won the ALCS. I know I was at that one.
Yeah, man, those were the days, man. Absolutely love that.
And then the next year, I know I went to quite a few, and two or three of the World Series games. And I even went to one of the ones in New York.
Oh, no way. You were out in New York for the World Series?
Yeah, so my brother lives out there, and he wanted to go to a game, and so me and my dad flew out, and we all went together.
Oh, that's amazing. You weren't there for the clincher, were you?
No, it was the one before that. It was game four.
Okay, all right. That's great, man. That's great. Where were you at when they won the World Series? What do you remember most about the World Series moment?
Well, so we went to the game the night before, and I had to be at school on Monday, so we flew back to Kansas City Sunday, and then I was just sitting on our couch at home watching it with my parents.
What a great day, not knowing you'd be a part of the organization very soon. So let's come back and talk about that here in a little bit, but let's go back and learn about you from the old school days. So you attended St. Pius X High School here in the KC area. So did you always live in Kansas City and Parkville growing up then?
Yeah, when I was born, I lived in the Overland Park area, but when I was very young, like 3 or 4, we moved to Parkville.
Okay, so in high school then, so you were the quarterback and punter on the football team. You were an all-conference, all-district player there. I'm guessing you probably played guard on the basketball team, and of course, you know, you pitched on the baseball team, did all that. Now, I love your Twitter bio, by the way. It states you were the leading rebounder of the 2013 basketball team. So what was the key to being successful on the boards back in the day, man?
Honestly, just effort. And, like, I always had a good knack for, like, where the ball was going to be, and that was kind of my role. I was, like, our sixth man that year, and I would just come in and give, like, energy off the bench, and I always seemed to find the ball and rebound it.
Well, what do they say? Most of the misses go long, right? Opposite side of the court, so go to the other side of the rim. Isn't that what they always say?
Yeah, right. It's the opposite side of the basket, so you try and position yourself and box out and then go get it.
Nice. Okay, so did you have any college offers then in football or basketball?
Not in basketball, no. But football, yeah, I could have played college football as a quarterback, and I had a couple schools talk to me as a punter. And I actually went to Central Missouri my freshman year and was going to play both football and baseball. And about a couple weeks into it, I decided I didn't want to do it anymore, so I just played baseball.
Okay, so was baseball your number one, like your favorite growing up?
It was baseball and football for sure. And then kind of as I got older, like I figured that baseball would be more my path and that would be my best opportunity to play professionally, because that's always been my dream.
Okay, now how about UCM? What made you choose UCM to play there?
Well, so I mean, I was, in terms of recruiting, I was a little bit overlooked, in my opinion. I didn't have like big time Division I offers, but I had a decent amount of Division II schools and junior colleges looking at me. And I mean, I thought it was a perfect fit because I would go there and kind of be a priority for them to like develop and make sure I pitch. And I knew it was a place that I could pitch at and get better. And also it was close to home and a place where I knew I could enjoy 3 or 4 years of a college experience, because I wasn't really too interested in going to junior college, and because you never know what you're going to get at one of those. So I thought it was just a perfect fit all the way around.
How'd you like Pine Street? That was probably fun, right?
Well, I was never 21 when I was in college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my 21st birthday was after my junior year. But, yeah, I mean, it's fun. I went back there and visited some friends the past year or two. And, yeah, Pine Street's a fun time.
I love the old-school Arby's they have there, man, with the old logo, that Arby's on when you first come into town.
Yeah.
I've only been there, like, twice, so there you go. So did you – okay, so where did you, like, develop most growing up? Did you go to Mack and Sites a lot, or where were you kind of hanging out, you know, working on your baseball skills growing up?
Honestly, our team would – we would practice in, like, old warehouses. I didn't play for Mack and Sites. I always played for, like, with a group of guys that lived in the North Kansas City area, and one of the dads on our team had like a warehouse where we would set up like a little area to with a batting cage and like a carpet area for ground balls and like a couple mounds, and that's where we'd have all our like winter practices. And okay. then and in between those in the especially in the summer, I'd always have my dad out in the yard playing catch or throwing me baseball or throwing me like tennis balls so I could hit them.
Nice.
Yeah. So me and my dad worked a lot growing up.
Very nice. Okay. So getting back to UCM, as a junior, school record, 13 saves, 2.65 ERA. Also, the most important thing was you guys played in the D2 College World Series. So what are your favorite memories of that?
I mean, in the regional tournament, when we clinched to go to the World Series, I recorded 3 saves in that, and I was on the mound for the last out when we clinched. And there's a video out there somewhere, but I get like a ground ball to the shortstop, and like as he throws it to our first baseman, he catches it. You see me, I toss my glove up in the air, and then immediately turn around and our catcher tackles me and everyone piled on top of me and I was at the bottom of our dog pile.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where is the D2 World Series, by the way?
It's in Cary, North Carolina.
Okay.
And that's where it was when we did it. I'm not sure if it's still there or not.
Okay, cool. Well, okay, so you're going to UCM. Obviously, like you said, your goal was always to play pro ball. That was your dream. Did you, when you first got to UCM, did you think it actually realistically might happen?
I knew that I, like, obviously I had no interest out of high school from, like, a professional organizations, but I knew that I hadn't even, like, tapped into what I totally could be because I was always playing 3 sports and I wasn't focusing on pitching mostly. But so my freshman year I went from throwing like when I showed up I was throwing like 85 to 87 maybe, and then as I started focusing on pitching more by my freshman like season in the spring I was sitting around like 88 to 90, so I knew I was making improvements and that I could like my velocity was going to keep increasing. So if I just kept getting better, I knew that, and kept increasing my velocity, obviously, because that's the biggest thing that catches the attention of scouts, that I'd get a chance eventually. So by the time my junior year rolled around, I felt like I was throwing hard enough and pitching well enough that thankfully the Royals took a chance on me.
Well, what else were you – so what position were you playing besides pitching then growing up?
Oh, I played everywhere. I mean, I was a good hitter, but in the field, I never really had like a true one position. I bounced around from like first base, third base,
okay,
outfield.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So, did you go to college though as a pitcher?
Yeah, I was gonna just be a pitcher in college.
Okay, so I've read the pretty cool story, but I'll let you tell it. So, you know, draft day, right before the draft, I from what I understand, you didn't expect the Royals to take you. So kind of tell the story of, you know, of how you found out the Royals took you and all that.
Well, I knew that there was basically 2 teams that there was a chance to take me. I knew the Royals were one of them because I went to the pre-draft workout. But after the pre-draft workout, they didn't contact me at all. So I was like, well, so in my mind at that time, I just didn't think they were interested. And then, a scout from the Astros was texting me and telling me that he wanted to work me in late in the draft. And he was trying to like find a spot for me. And he was like going back and forth if I wanted to sign or not. And I told him, yeah, that I wanted to, so he then like after we were texting back and forth a little bit, he just kind of told me congrats, and I was like, oh well, I guess that means that they just drafted me. And so I run over and look at Twitter, which I'd been checking all day on for the draft tracker, and I see my name pop up, but it said the Royals drafted me. So I was like, oh okay, that's cool. So I saw it on Twitter before anyone from the Royals had called me. And then about a minute later, one of the Royal Scouts called me and talked to me and told me what the deal was.
Holy cow. So you got to be on just cloud nine. I'm sure your dad, your parents, right? You know, being Royal season ticket holders, they had to have been on cloud nine, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a day I'll never forget and a moment that, like, at that time, it was very sweet and, like, something that I had been working for so long that it was just great to share that with my family.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, okay, yeah. So before we talk about pro ball then, so, you know, tell our listeners, give us kind of a scouting report. What pitches do you throw, and then where's the velo at as far as where do you sit and where you top out at?
Yeah, so I'm a right-handed reliever. I come in, I'm a mainly fastball curveball pitcher. My changeup, kind of depending on the day, it can be a good pitch. Some days it's there, some days it's not, though, so mainly rely on my fastball and curveball. Right now I sit mostly around in the 92 to 93 range. Every now and then I'll hit 94, 95, but mostly sit around 92, 93. My curveball is pretty good pitch in my opinion, especially when I'm throwing it for strikes. So I really like to attack hitters with my curveball and set them up, and then get them out with my fastball later in the count.
Really? Okay, so you're pitching backwards. I like that.
Yeah, when I'm on and when I'm working well, that's generally how I like to do it.
Okay, so the strikeout pitch is actually the fastball a lot of times then.
Right.
Okay. Wow, okay. That's interesting. Okay. So you got drafted, signed, and you reported to the Surprise Royals to finish out 2016 Surprise Pitcher of the Year. You were top five in the AZL and in a few different categories. So what are your favorite memories of that first summer in Surprise?
Oh, yeah. So, like, showing up, I had no idea what to expect. I had no idea what the Arizona League was. Whenever you hear about minor league baseball, you always hear about, like, bus rides and whatnot, and that's not what the Arizona League is. It's you're playing at the complex, all the spring training complexes, in front of zero fans. Maybe
right.
A couple people's family are there in town, but it's strictly just baseball. But I mean, it was great because, like, I didn't know what to expect from the level of competition or anything. I just told myself that I need to go in there and throw strikes and see what happens, you know, because I didn't want to go in and walk a bunch of people. But yeah, I got off to a pretty hot start, and I knew that if I just kept doing what I was doing, that I'd have pretty good success for that season.
Had you been to Surprise before, since you guys traveled to the Royals, or was that your first time?
No, I'd never been to Surprise.
Okay. So then last year, you know, carried that. People were kind of like, well, is this kid for real? So you carried that over to Lexington, 1.38 ERA in 32 and two-thirds innings, 43 strikeouts, a whip under one. So pitching in Lexington, what sticks out most about that?
The jump from rookie ball to Lexington was a decent jump because, well, the lifestyle is probably the biggest difference from the AZL to low A, because you're doing all the bus rides and traveling and whatnot that makes minor league baseball so unique and so tough sometimes. But like, that was my first real taste of minor league baseball, but also you're playing against just better competition, and all those first year players that made full season teams, you're not playing against very many 18 or 19 year olds anymore like you do in the Arizona League. So I mean, there was a little adjustment, but I still felt like I was better than everyone there, you know, because that's kind of the mentality you have to carry.
Yeah, well, especially being a college guy.
Yeah.
So then the back half of last year, you went to Wilmington, 1.93 ERA, 34 Ks, and 32 and two-thirds. I find it pretty amazing, by the way. Did you realize you threw exactly 32 and two-thirds at both places last year?
Yeah, I did notice that after the season.
That's pretty amazing, man. All right, anyway, I'm kind of a dork with numbers. But, okay, so after the year last year, so then people are like, okay, well, this kid, we got to start paying attention. So you started showing up on some of those prospect lists and player to watch and all the stuff you probably, you know, try to ignore. But, So this might be a stupid question, but were you surprised at all the fact that you kind of dominated right off the bat in your first full season of Pro Bowl, or did you kind of just expect it?
I mean, I honestly had no idea what to expect from the level of competition wise. So I kind of approach it like, hey, you go out there and you control what you can control, and you throw the ball in the strike zone and make people hit you, you know, and just try and do whatever you can to get outs. But like once I got there and had a couple outings under my belt, I'm like, okay, I know I'm better than these guys. I know my stuff plays here, so there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah, and then so you began this year at Wilmington, 3.18 ERA and 13 appearances. I love these strikeouts, man. Again, more than a K per inning. So I made my first trip out to Wilmington actually about 2 weeks ago. So what are your favorite memories of pitching out there in Wilmington? Great park there, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. I definitely love. So in Wilmington, that's one of the few places where you get to live with the host family. Everyone on the team lives with the host family, and I've developed a really good relationship with my host family there, and they had a couple kids that I always got to hang out with, and whenever I was at home and they weren't at school or whatever. But so yeah, I got to hang out with them, and I mean, my teammates in Wilmington, honestly, that was probably some of the most fun I had at the beginning of this year, because the majority of that team was guys that I had gotten drafted with or played rookie ball with or played in Lexington with. So there was a lot of familiarity on that team. So, like, we were just very comfortable together at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, very cool. What are the kids' names? Let's give them a shout-out right now.
My host kids?
Yeah.
Jonah and Vivian Bowl.
There they go. All right. Well, they're listening. They got a shout-out right now. I love it. Okay, so you're now with Northwest Arkansas, like we mentioned earlier. 13 appearances so far. How much fun are you having pitching there in Northwest Arkansas?
It's going well. I was dealing with a minor injury that sidelined me for a couple weeks. During one of my outings, I pulled my groin and had to take a couple weeks off. So now I just got activated about a week ago, and now I'm kind of just waiting to get back in that rhythm and of pitching consistently again. But yeah, before I got hurt, I mean, I was really figuring things out and like learning how to pitch to this league, because every league's a little different with the approach and the ballparks and the umpires. But yeah, I was definitely figuring out a little bit how to attack hitters here and the way my stuff plays the best against these hitters. So yeah, I was getting into that rhythm, and then I got hurt. So now I just got to kind of restart it.
The ball jumps in that league, doesn't it? A lot of bandboxes around there.
Oh yeah. Our park's a little bit of a boombox. Tulsa definitely is. Springfield is for sure. Our place is pretty neutral, and that's just in our division. And Arkansas is a pretty big pitcher's park, so some of them are. There's maybe one or two that are good pitcher's parks, but the majority are hitter-friendly parks.
That's probably a pretty good league to get used to, kind of the big league style of the weighted schedule of playing all the AL Central teams a lot more, because you see those teams a lot, don't you? A lot more than other leagues, right?
Oh yeah, we. I would say, like, the majority of my outings have come against Arkansas or Tulsa, and that's like facing a team for the third or fourth time, you kind of have to – you can't just do the same thing every time. You can't get too predictable, because hitters at this level will, like, catch on to it. So sometimes you got to pitch a guy backward. Sometimes you got to attack him right away. You know, it's a little bit of a chess game.
Yeah. Well, you've got a great pitching coach there. What's it like working with Steve Luber? I hear a lot of good things about him.
Oh, he's a good guy. He really cares about, like, all of the pitchers on the staff. And, like, you can tell that he genuinely, like, wants all of us to get better each and every day. So whenever I'm working with him in the bullpen or before the game playing catch, it's like he'll tell you stuff and you'll think about it. And sometimes, I mean, this goes for every pitching coach. Sometimes it's not like you don't certainly feel it great, but sometimes he'll tell you something that kind of clicks, and he's definitely helped me with a few things, and I really like how he just genuinely, like, just cares about me and my career.
So how much do you think you need, because I was going to ask you what are you working on the most, but how much do you think you need that third pitch, the changeup, as far as your future, and how confident are you that you can improve that changeup quite a bit and make it more consistent?
I mean, as a reliever, you don't see that many three-pitch guys too often in the big leagues, but, I mean, anytime you can get a different look just to put something in the hitter's head, it's always going to be an advantage. So, like, I'd say when I reach my potential, I will have that third pitch to where I can go, hey, here's a changeup, and then go with my fastball and curveball to get the outs. But they're still thinking that there's always a possibility I can throw that changeup at any count. So, like, just I need to get that consistency and get comfortable throwing it in games more, because now I'll throw it maybe once an outing, and it's, like, not really something that hitters think about. It's when they see it, they'll probably just, like, take it because they're not expecting. They're only looking for that fastball and curveball right now, I would say, when they're facing me.
Okay, good answer. So I want to ask you about a few of your Naturals teammates then, and guys you played with in the past. So one guy we hear a lot about, obviously, is Khalil Lee. What's it like playing with him, and what have you seen out of him?
Oh, Khalil's a good kid. Yeah, we spent a lot of time together in the AZL and in Lexington last year and in Wilmington this year. So we've kind of moved up at a similar pace. He's definitely, you can tell he's got all the talent. And, I mean, pretty anyone who follows Royals prospects has heard of him. So, I mean, he's got great power, great arm. He's a really good athlete. So, he's still only 20 years old, too. So, I'm sure he's got a lot of improvements coming in his future.
Yeah. Well, now, another guy besides you that I really like, there's a couple guys, actually, in your bullpen there that I think have real big futures. One guy I like a lot is Junior Marte. Tell us about him.
Oh, Marte? Yeah, he's a funny guy. he's great to hang out with in the bullpen. As a pitcher, you can tell he's got really good life on his fastball and very good off-speed stuff. And, I mean, I think he's a very good pitcher.
Yeah, the other guy is Pedro Fernandez.
Yeah, Pedro, he speaks pretty good English, so I talk to him a little bit every now and then. So he's another fun guy to hang out with. I mean, you can't say anything bad about either of those guys.
How is your Spanish, by the way? Do you try to pick up quite a bit of Spanish to talk to your Latin teammates?
No bueno. I have a little bit, you know, like the stuff that you learned in high school and. Now I've picked up a little bit here and there in pro ball, you know, maybe a little some of the stuff you might learn on the street or not not from your Spanish class.
But. Right, not arable probably, right?
Right.
Oh, I love it. Okay, well, before we wrap it up with our last 10, I always do a rapid fire 10 questions. Before we get to that, my other question is there a guy you've played with that maybe doesn't get enough love from the prospect pundits? Is there a player or two that kind of are under the radar that you think have a bright future, you know, Royals teammate-wise?
Oh, gosh. I mean, there's a ton, but, I mean, just on my team, I'd say that Jace Vines, he's a really good pitcher that, maybe his numbers haven't always, like, shown it, but I'd say he's got a lot of potential, in my opinion. Position player-wise, I mean, I've played with Cort Peterson for the past 2 years,
yeah.
And he's a guy who just hits, and I think he'll just hit everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I was there the last couple of games. I saw him he had a nice little base hit, line drive, to knocking some runs. He looks like a hell. He's been on a tear lately, hasn't he, with the home run ball?
Yeah, he's gotten really hot. He's definitely one of our better hitters in our lineup. And, I mean, just, like, watching, like, you can tell certain guys are, like, when you watch your own team, you're like, okay, I know how I'd pitch this guy if I had to face our lineup. But, like, he's kind of one of those guys where I'm like, if I make a mistake, he can hit whatever I throw in there. Like, so he's one of those guys I felt like if I faced him, I'd have to kind of be on my game.
Yeah, that's
to get him out.
That's like the ultimate compliment for a hitter, too. Well, okay, right. So my last 10 questions for you. Rapid-fire questions. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, do you like dogs or cats more?
Dogs.
Still waiting for my first cats. I'm a cat lover, man. I guess I'm alone. Alone on this one. Okay, so you chose the Twitter name at the fake Grant Gavin. At first, I was like, is this his real account or not? So what's the story behind that?
It's actually a pretty lame story. I think I used to be like just Grant Gavin. I was in high school. I was hanging out with one of my friends at school, I remember. And I was like, hey, should I change my Twitter name to fake Grant Gavin? Just like as a joke. And he was like, yeah, man, I don't care. So I was like, all right, I'm doing it.
That sounds like it should be straight out of Napoleon Dynamite or something, that right there, that story.
That's kind of how my life is.
All right, so who is your – you grew up a Royals fan, so who is your all-time favorite Kansas City Royals player?
Oh, I'd say there's a tie between Wade Davis and Zach Greinke.
Okay, two right-handers. I like it.
Yeah, so when I was younger, it was Zach Greinke, and then in more recent history, it was Wade Davis.
Okay, so this question was written before the interview. I think I know the answer to this, but I was going to ask you, be honest, were you always true blue or were you a bandwagoner? But I'm guessing you were never a bandwagoner, but some of your friends probably were, right?
Oh, yeah, a lot of my friends were, but I remember sitting at home watching the 06 to 08 Royals who were consistently losing. So, I mean, I stuck with them through their bad years.
Okay, where are the season?
I grew up on their bad years. I mean, that was all I knew for a while.
Yeah, you and I both. Where are your parents' season tickets? Do they still have them?
I'm not sure. I think they're behind. I know they're like on the third. I think they're on the third base side, like about in the lower bowl.
Okay, well,
I'm not exactly sure.
Do they get to come down and watch you quite a bit now that you're in Arkansas?
Yeah, they've come down 3 or 4 times already since I've been here. So if it's the weekend and they don't have anything going on, they'll drive down and watch me.
Very nice. Okay, what's the best baseball movie of all time?
Oh gosh, I really like 42.
Okay.
And Sandlot.
Wow, okay. That's my first ever 42. I like that. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Okay, who's your best friend in the Royals organization?
gosh, that's tough. I'd say Anthony Bender.
Okay.
Me and him played in the AZL for a while, and all that. Like, it's pretty much those guys you play with that first year, the ones you have the closest connection to. I feel like
he's down in Wilmington still, right?
Right, and it was I'd say Matt Wynn was in that conversation, but he recently retired.
Okay,
so yeah, those two.
Okay, last three. If you weren't a pro baseball player, what career do you think you'd be chasing?
Oh gosh, I don't know, and that's the honest answer.
That's always a good sign, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I'd be I'd be doing fine. I don't know what I'd be doing, though. I'd probably be working behind a desk somewhere.
Maybe a radio host, man. That's where the money's at, let me tell you.
Yeah, sports radio. I think I could give some good takes.
There you go. All right, so did you collect baseball cards growing up, and how cool is it having your own cards now?
I do have a bunch of baseball cards at home, but I probably haven't looked at them in 10 or 15 years, but... Yeah, now getting my first card was one of the cooler moments in professional baseball. I remember looking at it like, wow, well, that's me, and there's my numbers on the back of it. And so it's definitely a neat moment for all the professional baseball players, your first baseball card.
Absolutely. Well, my last thing is, what would you like to say to Royals fans listening right now?
Can't wait to get to Kansas City, and that's about it.
Yeah, you'll be the second guy sleeping at home in Kansas City, Jason Adam, back up here. So hopefully we can have you. Do you know Jason at all, by the way?
I met him in spring training. I don't know him too well, but I know who he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely one of my goals is to get to the big leagues and then still be able to sleep at my parents' house.
I love it. Well, he's a great dude, and so are you, man, as we found out the last 30 minutes. Thanks so much for your time, and we'll definitely have to stay in touch and do this again in the future, and look forward to seeing you up in Omaha and possibly up here next year, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.